So we're wrapping up today our series on courageous generosity, seeing how this notion, this concept of generosity, how it impacts our lives, how it brings us joy, brings meaning to our lives. As we've noted, of all of the virtue words in the Bible, things like compassion and kindness, justice and mercy and love, that if you take all of those, generosity is mentioned more than all of them combined. It is essential to what it means to be Christian. I've been sharing stories, many of which came from you, of people who have lived out this courageous generosity. But there was one story that kept coming up. Alex Williams served as Tanglewood Elementary's campus safety and security officer for 27 years. And he was beloved in that community by students, by parents, by faculty, by the administration. He was one of those people that loved generously and was loved the same way in return. He made a point to get to know the name of every single student, and not just their name. He would learn about some of their interests and their hobbies and would remember students' names for years. When they would come back years later, he would remember them and greet them by name. More than a security guard, he would often be found playing basketball with students at recess who didn't have anybody else to play with. As someone said so beautifully, he was born a happy soul who loved other people and genuinely cared about them, whether they were one of the cool kids or not. Somebody said he would go out of his way to ensure that every student knew that they were loved, that they were appreciated, that they were valued. Mr. Williams died recently at the age of 47. But his loving spirit, his generous soul, left quite a mark, a lasting impact on tens of thousands of children and their families right here in our own neighborhood, impacting not just that school, but the entire community. What a world it would be if we were able to follow his lead and affirm the worth of every single person we encounter. My aim through this series has been to try and inspire you to live that kind of life, to help you see what it means to be a person of faith, to help you see what it means just to be human. Because when we live this way, we have the opportunity, we have the ability to change the world. You see, when we love our neighbor, it looks like generosity. When we serve God, it looks like generosity. Now, our text this morning is from the book of 1 Timothy. Now, there's a lot of debate amongst scholars about who wrote what are known as the pastoral epistles, the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Now, they were reported to be written by Paul to Timothy and to Titus, young pastors serving churches in Ephesus and Corinth. But some scholars, in fact, many scholars now believe that these were written after the time of Paul. There was different vocabulary. In fact, there's 300 words that are used in the epistle letters that are not used in the writings of Paul. The language is different. The content, the situation is different than what Paul was dealing with. And so many believe that it was written perhaps a decade or two later, perhaps by someone who was close to Paul, would take his ideas and say, this is what Paul would have said in this situation. But others say it was Paul, that he had just visited Ephesus, that he had been taking up the offering that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that offering that was such an important part of Paul's ministry, that he traveled around to collect money for those Christians that were suffering as a part of the famine that was taking place in Judea. And he says, tell this to the people of Ephesus. Tell them these things. in the sixth chapter of Timothy, where he deals with wealth and generosity, he says, tell the people this.
Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Here begins the reading. As for those in the present age who are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Here ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
They are to do good works, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. In many ways, that is the essence of what this entire series has been about, that we are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share with others in our daily lives, but also to share with God. And he goes on to say that if we do that, we will store up for ourselves a foundation for a good future, so that we can take hold of the life that really is life. I love that. The life that really is life. I don't know about you, but I want that life. I want that life, the life that really is life. And I suspect that you want it too. We all do. The life that really is life. But as we've said, the whole world is trying to sell us on a different life. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how every day we are encountered. We encounter 4,000 messages a day that try to sell us a different kind of life, that work hard to tell us, trying to convince us that if we just have this, that this is where we find the life that we want or should want. But then we know how that happens. We pursue that path and it may be fine for a while, but it doesn't lead us to that life that really is life. I remember on the day that I was ordained into the ministry that my mentor who preached the service, sort of like Paul writing to Timothy, said during the benediction that Russ is a model minister. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, how great is that? A model minister. I was moved by that. And then I went home and looked up what that means and saw that a model is simply a small imitation of the real thing. And suddenly I wasn't so moved. That wasn't quite the compliment that I thought that it was. You see, I think about that, and I think that life that we so often are sold, a small imitation of the real life, the life that really is life, that's not the same thing. But the life that really is life, that's the life that I want. That's the life that God offers us. That's the life that God invites us to, that God created us for. The life that really is life, that is the life that we want. And that is the life that I want for you. How do we have that life? Seems pretty clear. To do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share. It all starts, I think, with the basic orientation towards gratitude. Gratitude begets generosity. Christina Carnes earned her PhD from UC Berkeley and is now a researcher in the psychology department at the University of Oregon. And she's done extensive work in the area of neuroscience connected with gratitude. She has looked at how positive emotions interact with values to support our well-being. And in one article, she said this, "In a sense, gratitude seems to prepare the brain for generosity. Counting blessings is quite different than counting your cash because gratitude, just as the philosophers and the psychologists predict, point us towards moral behaviors, reciprocity, and pay it forward motivations." Apparently, she says, our brain literally makes us feel richer when others do well. Perhaps this is why researchers have observed that grateful people give more. Do you want to live the good life, the life that has been entrusted to us, the life that really is life? Then express gratitude. Be grateful. Count your blessings and not just your cash. As I've said before, the basic orientation of Christianity is one of gratitude. To realize that everything that we have, everything that we are, every breath that we take is a gift from God, and to be thankful, to express gratitude. These gifts from God, that the fundamental orientation is expressed in a simple two-word prayer, thank you. Thank you. As Meister Eckhart said, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. You see, when we do that, when we do that, our hearts become grateful, and in turn, our brains, which are hardwired for generosity, we find this propensity to be more generous. You see, there is this clear connection between our faith, between gratitude and generosity. They're all intertwined. They're all a part of who we are, what it means to be people of faith. That is the pathway to the life that really is life. To be grateful, to do good works, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Hal and Julie Hansen were married in 1991. And Hal was a doctor. He ran an emergency room in a hospital in Kansas City. And it seemed like all of their dreams were coming true. A couple years later, they had a son that they named Jeff, who grew into a healthy little boy until he wasn't. He started bumping into things, couldn't see quite as well as they thought. They did some tests, and when he was 6 years old, he was diagnosed with a genetic condition known as neurofibromatosis, which caused a brain tumor that not only stunted his growth, but also caused developmental delays, but was also pushing on his optic nerve, ultimately causing him to go blind. He went through chemotherapy and radiation and to try and stop the tumor, a tumor that he and his family playfully nicknamed Claude. And that chemotherapy and that radiology, it worked for a while. It shrunk the tumor to allow him to see a little bit. He said it was like looking through Swiss cheese, if you can imagine that. During chemo and radiation, his mom gave him some watercolors to give him something to do to distract him. And he would use that to make note cards. His mom would take those note cards and write thank you notes on them, and pretty soon people wanted them. And so he had this idea. He had this idea that he would sell those note cards along with some baked goods that his mom would bake. They would set up a makeshift stand in front of their driveway. And at the end of that first summer that they did that, he raised $15,000 that he then donated to the Children's Tumor Foundation that was used to fund research on the neurofibromatosis that was making life so hard for him. And then something inside of him, it clicked. Something inside of him clicked. He wanted to do more. Generosity begets generosity. And so he started taking these hand-painted note cards and transitioned them onto canvas. And soon these paintings just took off. And the more that he would sell, the more that he would donate. I want to show you this short video that is on his website. It talks a little bit about Jeff and his art. Take a look.
My art just makes me happy. I mean, it's happy art. It's not low contrast. It's not earth tones. It's bright, happy colors.
In order to understand how Jeff sees through his sore eyes, we look at his art. An optic nerve tumor damaged his vision. We say he sees the world through Swiss cheese. We really don't know how he sees the world, except we see the art he creates, and that gives us a window into his world. He calls it a sight for sore eyes.
Jeff's artwork started with hand-painted watercolor note cards, very simplified at age 12 during treatment, and then discovered, just really by experimenting, the concept of putting texture on the canvas. Now, don't forget, Jeff's visually impaired, and so that sense of touch became very special on the canvas, the texture of the canvas.
Jeff Hansen is an example of what one kid can do. An artist, a philanthropist, and an entrepreneur who, by age 20, has his own business, won Philanthropist of the Year and Entrepreneur of the Year, and gave $1 million to charity.
We hear time and time, day after day, what an inspiration he is. And I'm his mom. I'm so close to it. How could that be? Well, it's others realizing and hearing his story that they, too, can take that adversity and put a spin on it in the most beautiful way to find happiness in their lives.
I want to change the world through art.
Jeff once said that it's not the challenge, but the response to the challenge that defines us. On his website, it lists his core belief that every act of kindness helps create kinder communities, more compassionate nations, and a better world for all, even one painting at a time. How beautiful and inspiring is that? In the video, Jeff's dad mentioned that he set a goal that he would give away $1 million by the time he reached the age of 20. And that was a goal that he smashed through. In fact, he was never interested in making a fortune, but rather in raising a fortune so that he could give it away. To date, Jeff has done 2,400 paintings, and he's donated 700 more to different charities so that they could auction them off. Now, the average cost of one of Jeff's paintings is around $4,000, but oftentimes at charity auctions, they go upwards of $20,000. Two of his paintings have sold for over $100,000. Three more have sold for $65,000. Warren Buffett bought one of his paintings and lifted him up one time in a speech. Elton John has two of his paintings. And all of this has allowed Jeff to donate $6.5 million with the goal of reaching $10 million by the time he turns 30. But sadly, that is a goal that he will not reach, because last fall he developed another tumor, this one in the heart of his brain. And he died on December 20th at the age of 27. I reached out to his family this week through his website, asking permission to tell his story. And his mom, Julie, responded almost immediately and said that they would be honored for me to share Jeff's story, sharing his art in hopes that it might inspire us. And that through us, Jeff's generosity would continue to live. When asked why he does this, he simply would give two answers. One, he said, I wanted to give back. I was so grateful for the life I had, and I wanted to give back. And the second reason, he said, it was fun. It was fun. It brought him joy, and it brought others joy too. You see, this is a young man who discovered early on the joy of giving, and in so doing, experienced the life that really is life. He achieved this by being rich in good works, by being generous and ready to share. Today, I want to invite you. I want to encourage you to take hold of the life that really is life. Because this is the life that God offers us. This is the life that God has entrusted us. This is the life. This is the life that God created us to live. Do good. Be rich in good works. Be generous and ready to share. Amen.